Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Joining us on the line now is Matthew Cossolotto. He's a speechwriter, author, speaker and coach. He worked as a speechwriter for top officials at NATO headquarters, the Speaker of the US House of Representatives and senior executives of several Fortune 100 corporations. His personal empowerment trilogy includes the award-winning The Joy of Public Speaking. In his latest book, Harness Your Promise Power, Change Your Life, Transform the World, he recounts in heartwarming detail the life-changing promise he made to his mother and the profound impact it had on both his life and career. Welcome to the show, Matthew.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, it's lovely to have you with us. And I love the impact of the promise that you made to your mother has had on your life and career. And it's really, really special. Can you tell us about it?
Well, I'd be happy to. And it sort of can be a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. Basically, my mother thought I should write a book, and I'd given her some of the ideas for the book. And I wasn't at that time, I didn't think of myself as a self-help writer. And so I was dragging my heels a little bit on doing this book. And she kept asking me about it over several years. How are you working on the book? I really think it's a great idea. You should do this book. And I thought, you know, I'd written a couple of books on European politics. I thought, I'm not a self-help author. But she got sick after I was able to take her on a trip to Paris for the first time. And after a couple of months later, she was diagnosed with cancer. And my last time seeing her, something told me to tell her that I want to make a promise to her. And I said, I want to promise you that I'll finish writing that book that you wanted me to write, and I'll dedicate it to your memory. And, you know, tears welled up, and she shook her finger at me and said, you do that, Matthew, you do that. This makes me very happy. I remember the words exactly. And so after making that promise, a heartfelt promise, I knew I had to follow through. I knew failure was not an option. You make a promise like that, but it was still difficult. I wasn't sure that I could really pull this off. I had this idea for the book, but and long story short, I finished that book. It's not the book we're talking about now, but the book I finished and dedicated to my mother's memory, I'm updating that book, and that'll come out. That's the third book in my trilogy. It's about habit force. It'll be Harness Your Habit Force. But the dedication includes the words, something like this: I know I wouldn't have finished writing this book had it not been for the promise I made to you. I was writing this to my mother, to you back in California at home. This demonstrates the power of making a promise, especially to your mother. So that was the dedication. And I read that again a couple of years after the book was published. And that phrase, the power of making a promise, just hit me. And I thought, I wonder if there's something different here about a promise that I could maybe do a little research, collect some stories. And it turned out I could not find another book that was a collection of promise stories, I call them. And so I need to say this right up front, I happened to talk to Jack Canfield, who is the co-creator of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Many of your listeners will know about that, those books, I'm sure. And I told him basically the promise story I just told you about to my mother. And I said, I'm collecting stories and I'm thinking about doing a book and I want to make a special day called Make a Promise Day. And he loved all of this. He said, here, I want to help you with this. And he gave me his personal email. And lo and behold, he's done the forward to this book. I have to say how grateful I am to Jack Canfield for doing an amazing forward in which he talks about a promise he made when he was to God, when he was 27 years old. We can talk about that. But basically, I thought there might be a book here. There might be some powerful stories. And I started to collect stories. And the rest, I guess, is in the book, and the rest is history.
Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? So why do you think the idea of making a promise to a loved one or to God, in Jack's case, means more than just setting yourself a goal or an intention? Why is it right. more effective?
Well, I believe, and it's been, you know, what I found over these last few years, that a promise comes from the heart. There's emotion behind a promise that, and a goal and a resolution and an intention, those tend to be more cerebral, sort of brain focused. So I think of a promise as being heart centered. And so from the heart, particularly if you make a promise to someone you care about, make a promise to yourself can be very powerful. Make a promise to a God or some other deity, that's very powerful. But so a promise is uniquely powerful, I think. If you want to, so I always say to people, turn important goals into a heartfelt promise. I'm not saying every goal or 100 goals and should all be promises, but be selective. Turn a couple of important goals into a heartfelt promise. You're much more likely to follow through because, and here's something that I found, you can change a goal. You can abandon a resolution, and you know people kind of allow, you know, New Year's resolutions. People give up on those almost 2 weeks later, right? So, but you can only break a promise. You know, and people are loath to break promises. I know we live in a world where people think there are a lot of broken promises. I say, don't focus on the broken promises. There may be some out there. Focus on the positive side, because what happens is you focus on broken promises, you get more of those. You get what you focus on.
Yeah.
So focus on the promises that people keep and focus on the promises that you want to make and keep. So that's why I made this idea of a holiday called Make a Promise Day.
Yeah. I'm interested to hear a couple of the famous people that you feature in the book, what their promises were. Oprah Winfrey, what was hers?
Well, her promise, and this was one of the first I came across, because once I thought I'm going to do a little research on this, I found that I did some Googling, you know, celebrities making promises or famous promises, and hers came up. She made a promise, Oprah made a promise to Nelson Mandela, who at the time was president of South Africa. She had visited the country, and she promised him that she would build a school, an academy for girls, basically, in a country that didn't have anything like that, underprivileged girls. And she made that promise, and several years later, after a lot of cost overruns and difficulties and delays, the story I read was a CNN account in which I think the reporter asked her, why are you going through this? Why are you putting up with all these cost overruns and more, you know, you're spending more money than you expected to? And her simple answer is the message of my book. She said, I made a promise to Nelson Mandela and I intend to keep it.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. People make a promise, and most people, almost to a person, will want to keep the promise. And when they don't, they feel badly. They disappoint others. And so there's something special about a promise. Mm. And Oprah's story, it really sums that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was Jack Canfield's promise to God?
Well, I can tell you about it. It's in the book. I don't want to spoil it for people. It's like, but people can find out. I'll tell you a little bit about it. He was 27 years old. He was in Amherst, I think it was in Massachusetts, and he was a graduate student. And he was thinking about his future, what he wants to do with his life. And basically, he made a promise in a dim apartment. He talks about this in the book. He makes a promise to God that he would dedicate his life to helping educate others about wisdom and love. Those were the things that he thought that he really wanted to do. And if you think about the Chicken Soup books, this is long before the Chicken Soup books, that's basically what he spent his life doing. And he's had more impact as a result of that promise. He says in the forward that than he ever imagined possible. Hundreds of millions of people have bought this book. I think he sold 600, all of the Chicken Soup books, 600 million copies. I aspire to that, but I don't expect that. I don't expect that'll happen. I'd like to keep. I'd like to be optimistic.
Yeah, why not? And also in the book, I mean, the idea is, I suppose, that people come up with their own promises and things that inspire them to make a promise to themselves or a loved one. But you talk about a promise a day, 30 days to promising. and there are lots of interesting promises that you sort of suggest to people, which I quite like as an alternative.
Yeah, one of the things I talk about a lot is that the promises that I have in mind, if you turn a goal into a promise, I think of them as personal empowerment promises. And so these 30 promises, a promise a day leading up right now, they're happening right now. And I think we're on day 8 in the social media posts I've been doing. Mm. And a lot of these promises I borrowed from someone named Christian D. Larson, who wrote a book back in, I think, 1911. I think this book was called Your Forces and How to Harness Them or something like that. And the Optimist Society, or Optimist International, has adopted many of his promises. And he has a series of promises where you promise yourself to do certain things. And today's promise, I'll just jump to that one, on day 8 in my countdown to make a promise day, is adapted from Christian D. Larson. Here it is. And I use the words, I promise. I think those are two magic words. He had you promise yourself. I'd like to say, I promise to be just as enthusiastic about the success of others as I am about my own. So that's a nice thought, you know, to be real enthusiastic. I promise to be enthusiastic about other people's success, not just my own, but other people. And that's a nice promise. That's one of several I borrow and adapt from Christian D. Larson. I have one, it's a little bit earlier in the countdown, and I think it was number 4, but I'm not sure. I adapted something that everybody is familiar with. I ask people to promise to follow the golden rule and treat others the way you would like to be treated yourself. Make a promise. You know, we know about the golden rule, many of us, but make a promise that you're going to follow the golden rule. That makes it a lot more powerful. Mm. So promises can be very, very powerful. And I encourage people to make personal empowerment promises and enhance their lives. And if we do a lot of this, a lot of us make promises, make our lives better, we can transform the world. That's where the subtitle of the book is, Change Your Life and Transform the World.
Yeah. And it's really interesting with the thing that you said about, you know, encouraging and supporting others. It is a conscious choice to not do that. If you see somebody has posted online about their new book, whether it's someone that you choose to follow because you're interested in what they do, or even more, if it's a friend, if it's someone that you know and you spend time with, or a family member, for you to see their post and not comment and not right. say, well done, congratulations, good for right. you, something like that. To have read their post and not comment is really interesting and says a lot about you.
I do a lot of commenting and just applauding and thumbs up and, you know, those things just to encourage, you know, that I like that comment or that that achievement.
Yeah.
People, you know, get a new job or they have a book or something. So I guess we're encouraging people to give me a thumbs up for my book.
Yeah, definitely. But it's true. I do find it interesting. And people talk about this a lot on social media, how people are more inclined to support a celebrity who they don't know and have never met and are not likely to meet, as opposed to someone who they've known for the best part of 20, 30 years. And it's a right. weird human nature thing to like and congratulate some random celebrity off the television, as opposed to somebody who's supposed to be a friend. Why shouldn't that be automatic, that everybody will always congratulate and support all their friends and colleagues it's
I'd like
it's
to see more of that.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd like to see more of is when someone says they're going to do something, we should say, "Yeah, promise."
Yeah.
And that, you know, sort of like as, we did as kids. I don't know. I know, you know, many people listening probably as kids, we would call each other on promises. We know, and this is another reason why promises are so special. We grew up knowing there's something special about a promise. Mm. And we would say, as a kid, I would say, let's say I borrowed 25 cents from a friend, I'll pay you back. And my friend would say, "Yeah, promise." They would catch you right away. They wouldn't hesitate.
Yeah.
"Yeah, promise." And then my response, and a lot of us would say, in most Western cultures, I guess, we would say, "I cross my heart and hope to die."
Yeah.
"Stick a needle in my eye." That's the rest of that. "Stick a needle in my eye." So that's a painful thing if you don't if you don't keep your promise.
And
so
we used to do pinky promise as well, where you kind
that's
of
right.
shake your little finger together and some pinky promise.
Exactly. Pinky promise, stick a needle in your eye, kind of. It's binding. And we knew it from the start. In fact, Jack Canfield, again, thank you, Jack. He starts his foreword with the words, "A promise is a promise." And he said that he grew up knowing that there's something special about a promise. And when I had a chance to tell him about the promise I made to my mother, et cetera, he was sold. He was in. He said, "I was hooked." And so he talks about why this was so appealing to him.
Yeah. And were there, I know there's stories in the book of not famous people as well, just interesting stories that you've come across. Can you share one of those with us?
Well, one that I find very emotional, and there are lots of them. I've asked people, put out the word to people. In fact, I mentioned in the book, I'm going to collect more promise stories so people listening can send in promise stories. And I hope to have a future editions of the book, promises made by teenagers, promises made by grandparents, you know, these different categories, kind of like the chicken soup books. But there's one story that really touches me is a guy named Marcus Ogden, who used to play in the National Football League in the U.S., NFL, not European football or world football.
Yes. Football as opposed to football. Soccer. Yeah.
As opposed to soccer. And Marcus was played in the National Football League for several years, and he did pretty well. But something happened after he left. I think he had an injury or something, and he was on hard times. He tells the story in the book that he went through bankruptcy. He had a couple of jobs to help support his family, and he goes into detail the story that he tells in the book about he was a custodian, nighttime custodian. It was his second job, and one night, he picked up a huge bag of garbage, and he was going to throw it away, and it had a tear in it. It ripped, and all this sour milk and muck and garbage fell on him, and he was just beside himself. He was so humiliated, and he cleaned himself up, and afterwards, he sat on a curb, and he cried for 10 minutes after that awful situation. He had fallen so far in his own mind, and he said he made a promise to himself that he was going to take control of his life. He was going to take responsibility for his life. He was not going to blame other people. He would stop making excuses. And so he said it took a lot of hard work, and it took a while to get his life on track, but he stopped making excuses. That was, you know, take responsibility for your life. That's one of the things that Jack Canfield talks about in one of his other books, The Success Principles. 100% responsibility for your life. So Marcus Ogden did that. He's got best-selling books now. He's a sought-after keynote speaker, an amazing success story. But it took that awful moment of garbage falling on him to just motivate him. Motivated himself. That's a personal empowerment promise.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn my life around.
Yeah.
So good on him. You know, it's a really powerful story. And he's willing to own up to that. He talks about the bankruptcy. He talks about crying for 10 minutes. You know, it's, and that's what some people talk about in their promise stories.
That, yeah.
That they just, they've had rough times and they made a promise to turn things around.
Yeah, powerful stuff. We all have things to cope with, don't we, in life? Things happen to us, but it's all about it. We choose how we deal with it. We choose how we move on from that, whether we spend the rest of our lives as a victim of whatever's happened to us or, right. or move forward. It is a choice, yeah. isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, Marcus used the phrase in the book. He said he was no longer going to be a victim. He'd be a victor.
So lovely.
He turned the victimhood into being a victor. So, yeah, great. that's a powerful one. There's so many stories that are, whether celebrities or not, it's the people are people, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And there are a lot of just everyday people who submitted stories, and they're really moving. And they change your lives. And so that's what I'm all about.
People can get the book if they want more information. It's called Harness Your Promise Power, Change Your Life, Transform the World. And it's by Matthew Cossolotto. It's available on our website, tre.radio. Matthew, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I really had fun and enjoyed it.